Finally today, since tonight is All Hallows' Eve, let's check in on poet Edgar Allan Poe. The Boston native is buried down in Baltimore, but he came back to life recently at Cambridge's Mount Auburn Cemetery.
So right now I've got a tablecloth that I'm putting together just to add a little splash of color. A little red seems appropriate. Some book-like objects, and I've got a fake inkwell with a raven feather hanging out of it. So my name is Rob Villela. I'm an Edgar Allan Poe living history performer. I've been performing Poe for about 9 years now.
Though he was born in Boston, Poe considered himself a Southerner, and he was often at odds with the Boston literati, many of whom are buried at Mount Auburn. But Poe's rivals stayed silent for one afternoon earlier this month as Poe emerged for a reading of his works at Story Chapel.
Down, still unceasingly, still inevitably down, I shrunk convulsively at its every sweep. My eyes followed its whirls, and I saw that some 10 or 12 vibrations would bring the steel in actual contact with my robe. I forced myself to calm down.
Radio Boston's Tim Skoge talked to Rob Villela about his transformation into Poe and about the author's legacy.
The hardest part, and I'm doing this right now for you, is getting the hair just right. Poe had this expansive forehead. I don't quite have the receding hairline that he had, which is fine by me. And then I have to make it look a little disheveled. I don't think it's because Poe himself didn't take care of himself as much as he probably had just taken his hat off right before every photo that was ever taken of him. But at the same time, you know, I think he's more recognizable when he's a little bit less clean cut. And all I gotta do now is put on the outer coat, and I'm pretty much there.
I know you're eager to see the man of the hour back from the dead, Edgar Allan Poe.
The story is called The Pit and the Pendulum. I was sick unto death with that long agony. And when they at length unbound me and I was permitted to sit, I felt that my senses were leaving me. The dread sentence of... I like the literature. That's what really drew me to Poe to begin with. Not his story. I mean, I think his story is interesting, but his story is problematic, too, because there's so many inaccuracies out there. There are so many myths associated with him. And you'll see my program, I do mostly just reading the works, trying to expose people to the literature.
The Red Death had long devastated the countryside. No pestilence had ever been so fatal or so hideous. Blood. Blood was its avatar and its seal, the redness and horror.
I think what Poe did that was a little different was he added another level. It wasn't just a straightforward spooky story or gory story. Poe really created things like psychological horror, for example. So it's less about the murder and more about the murderer. It's not just that he's trying to spook people. He's really trying to delve into a kind of a human nature, the negative side of human nature.
The 1,000 injuries of Fortunato I had borne as best I could. But when he ventured upon insult, I vowed revenge. He had a weak point, this Fortunato. He considered himself a connoisseur.
I call myself a Poe apologist or a Poe sympathizer, so my version of Poe is a little bit more cleaned up than most people expect him to be. So I don't believe, for example, that he was a drug addict. There's really no evidence of that. I believe that his alcoholism is something that he strove to control rather than let it control him. I actually find that some people who are Poe fans find that a little disappointing about him, that he wasn't this raving, drug-addled, alcoholic lunatic.
I continue, preparing to place the final bricks. For the love of God, Montresor! Yes, I said, for the love of God. In the half of a century, no mortal has disturbed the tomb I created for Fortunato. May he rest in peace.
I think the argument would have been in those days, if you were a good person, you wrote uplifting literature that made you a better person. And if you were a bad person, you didn't. And I think Poe's rivals were really trying to portray him as somebody whose literature could harm you because he himself was not a good person. He also dies in October 7th, and there's all kinds of other things associated with October. But of course, Halloween is the biggest thing. I don't think Poe would have celebrated Halloween the way we do today, but I think he would get a kick out of the fact that we celebrate him for Halloween today. One of my big fears in doing this is that I'm going to do it wrong and turn somebody off to Poe. My real goal is to turn people on to Poe, so that maybe they take that next step to learn a little bit more, to read something new and something different, not just the standard Telltale Heart and Raven kind of works. That's my real hope, that people will get inspired and encouraged to dig in a little more. No pun intended, I'm at a cemetery.
That's literary historian Rob Villela. He spoke with Radio Boston's Tim Skoog at Mount Auburn Cemetery earlier this month. That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Jamie Bologna, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, and Zoe Mitchell, with help from Eve Zuckoff and Walter Wuthman. Tim Skoog is our technical director, with engineering today by Max Liebman. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Callum Borchers. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.